Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops
at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We about to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn.
What's going on? How you doing? And here's another one from your legendary Marcus Dash, everybody. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. I haven't even told you this. Our flag season starts Sunday. So for all our new listeners, this might be your first season with me doing our flag football season. So I'm big into it. My team is a perennial second place team. I think we're like a 10-time silver medalist in our flag football league. But yeah, looking forward to that beginning on Sunday this week. So I wanted to throw that out there. So people keep in mind, we'll be posting highlights from our flag football stint coming this weekend. So
Okay, man. I'm excited. I'm always excited. You know, I got to ask you a little bit more about the league, man, because we don't really have a huge thing of flag football down here, like adults in Kentucky. And I actually want to get something like that started. I want to do something like that there. So you got to kind of give me the rundown, how it's all set up. I think, man, I talked to a lot of different people, and they were like, man, we'd love to do some flag football. So I tell them all the time, in my mind, I'm thinking about you and how y'all get out there, man, and y'all for real about it. It's a real deal. You know, I love it. I do. I absolutely love it. Man, I'm excited.
I'll give you the rundown on how, like, the rules and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different ways people play 5-on-5, 7-on-7 flag football. Okay. But we do 5-on-5, and that's more of like a kind of like a pickup basketball style way of playing flag football. I know we used to do 7-on-7, but we just stuck to the 5-on-5. And plus, 5-on-5, it's easier to get people, whereas you have 7-on-7, you need to get like the linemen and stuff, three big boys. And we don't really have my friend. We don't really have lineman types. And if we do, we get dominated. We have our skill players trying to play line, and they would get dominated at the line. So we just stick to 5-on-5, mainly, you know, kind of air it out.
Okay, all right, I got you. But look, we have to figure it out. Like I said, the 5-on-5. You know, when you say no to the 7, but we got to get something started here in Kentucky. I think, you know, kind of Louisville, they have a little bit. You know, YMCA does a little bit, but nothing is, I'm thinking, as grand as you all. Like, y'all got the whole fits and everything, man. Y'all serious about it. Big trophies and all of that. So,
yes, sir.
While we at it, man, why don't we say hi to everybody that's in the chat for us. What's up, Wendy? Ghost Hunter 1974, Maria. Let me see. Who else is through here right now? Donna?
Yeah, look at Donna. Yeah, they beat the OKC last night, baby. Oh, yeah, that was Embiid's return to the hardwood.
Okay. Cheaper 65-point. Yeah, good to see y'all. Good to see you all. We got some good stuff tonight. We got some good stuff. I'm sure, Marks, right? To talk about, right?
We do. We got bombarded with a lot of comments yesterday on our take on the whole Rashee Rice stuff. I don't know if you guys saw some of the comments we were getting, but nonetheless, we're gonna kind of address some of those comments here tonight. But I want to start off with saying, if you guys haven't seen it, Rashee Rice has kind of broke silence on the entire incident
He went on his Instagram and posted a story, and he put, "Today I met with Dallas PD investigators regarding Saturday's accident. I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. I sincerely apologize to everyone impacted in Saturday's accident." Signed, Rashee Rice. JD, obviously we got some comments yesterday from people who may be new to the show, new to us in general, but they were saying that we didn't really take a heavy-handed approach as far as condemning Rashee Rice. So I thought we did. I just think we just talked about the aspect of, you know, like, he's a young guy. I mean, shit happens, essentially. And we've got – I'm curious, JD, I want to hear you some of your commentary to some of the comments we got yesterday from our take.
Well, you know, look, you know me, okay? I'm going to try to be as sober as I can and you know, my assessment of everything. And I think we were, you know, pretty full-throated in condemning the actions of anybody who was all involved. Didn't matter if it was him or anybody else. Completely condemned the actions of it. So I don't know how anybody got anything else less than that. I don't think that we were going to take an approach to just dropping an anvil on a guy to say that we should blow up his career. He doesn't deserve a second chance. Don't give him grace and all those different. We're just not on that boat. We're just not. It didn't make any sense to do that. And one of the things I was saying is, you know, through this message that you see, he's going to be held accountable. He's going to take responsibility for his actions and what he was involved with. And it could be something that is retroactively coming back to it and doing things, but he's still going to take account for it. Right. And that's the important thing. Everybody wants him to be held accountable for whatever thing his part in this whole act. I don't think anybody disputes that. We certainly don't, right? We certainly said, you know, if anything, he should be able to face the music. My thing is, you know, kind of with some of the things that I was responding to on the comments were, I hope he has people around him who's going to hug him up, okay, and understand that, you know what, this was a poor decision that he made or whatever it was his friends made, all of those different things, but you don't abandon the guy. You should never do that. Okay. The more important thing is, how does he respond to this and how does people around him respond to it? Yes, it could have been bad. Yes, people could have been killed. Yes, things could have happened worse than that. But I don't say the consequences of things determines the things if it's still a mistake or a bad decision, right? Mistake is defective in judgment, okay? Let's get that right, because, you know, somebody was trying to argue mistake is, why do we put things as a mistake? Why don't we just say it's a bad decision, bad choice? Well, the mistake is a bad choice. It's a bad decision, however you want to look at it. Now, are there levels to mistakes? Sure, there is. But regardless of it, it's a defect in judgment. So his judgment in the situation wasn't a good thing. We understand that. But because he had consequences or something didn't happen, we could sit there and say other people make bad judgment and bad choices and bad decisions. And in my mind, I was sitting there thinking when I was driving down to my mom's today, I'm like, I wonder how many people, just on percentage wise, right? And this is not really to sparingly say to something, but I think it is part of like self-reflection. How many people may leave a game from the Chiefs Stadium or whatever, or any stadium for that matter, that may have had a drink, maybe some alcohol, right? Or I don't know, maybe something else. Is that a bad choice and a bad decision? Where some of us feel like we may be able to get away with it. Maybe we feel like, hey, you know what? I'm good to go. Even though we understand that alcohol may have some bearings on the way that we drive, maybe our reaction time, we still may feel that we may be able to get out of it. So I don't think, if we don't use some type of self-reflection to have some type of empathy for him, I think that's the bad look. And some of the people I was sitting there talking to, you know, who came out with full-throated vitriol upon, you know, Rashee Rice, you know, and then talking about all the things they said about him, you know, he's a dirtbag, this is all this. Hey, man, look, bad choice after bad choice after bad choice. He caught in a situation that was wrong, okay? So everybody understands, feel wrong about it, right? We understand that. Whatever happened was wrong. Well, another thing we wanted to do was reserve part of what we said because we didn't know the full, you know, the full details of everything going on. I even said to one guy, I'm like, I didn't even know you were part of the investigation. Matter of fact, when you come out in when they do the report, okay, when they have the scene, I want you to wave in the back so I know which one, what part was where you was in the investigation. I want you to wave to everybody, okay? I just want to see your face because I didn't know you was part of the investigation. So everybody's coming out with all these different details on things that they don't even know. They don't. So my thing is, while we're sitting over here with some people, I'm going to say some, with this full-throated, throw Rashee Rice away and his career away, and he's the terrible person in the world, how about you reserve all of that later and your disdain for him a little bit later? More importantly, why don't you show this guy, you know, amount of grace that you should be able to show him, okay? Because that thing is important too. So here's a kid that, you know, from all purposes, we know is in a bad place right now. Okay. We could tell, like, in his, at least in his apology or in his statement, that he is remorseful and he is willing to take full responsibility into that. That's very important that he's doing it. Okay. And you could say, well, it's too late for that, or he should have did it then. Yes, right. But how many people at the time when things are happening think about these things? Okay, when it's happening, we immediately know, like, when things happen to people, sometimes people don't think clearly. They just don't, because it's just, it's so out of bounds in their mindset that this thing happened, they don't know what to do. They don't. So Marcus, you know, and I know you, me and you both want to reserve piling on this guy when you don't need to, right? Yes, we hold him accountable for that. Absolutely. Do we condemn his action? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But in this whole, the whole same frame of it is, you know, we got to take into accord, you know, that this guy is somebody who's a human being that needs people around him during this time. So that's what we got to understand. That's the reason I wore this shirt. You see this right here? I want to, so everybody's seen this, right? Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. That is a fact. That is a fact. Each of us are better than that. We are more than the worst thing that we ever done. So if this may be the worst thing he's ever done, hey, man, he's more than that, okay? And we could show him grace, just a human element, to have him give him some empathy and some sympathy during this time, okay? So I think we need to do much better on doing these things, regardless of who it is, right, until these things come out. It don't matter if he's in a Chiefs uniform or whoever it is. I think we need to just really, really, you know, kind of come down, man, and bring this the it down. Not to say that we shouldn't be upset with these things, because we should. We condemn those things, absolutely. But also, too, you know, in lieu of all the things that have happened, we do need to see some type of support for Rashee Rice as well.
Yeah, and our heart also goes out to all the people who are impacted by it. I know people were upset that I may have misspoke, and I was kind of – I said there were no injuries. I didn't mean no injuries. I meant no life-threatening injuries. No one was in critical condition from me. Based on all the reports that we've seen, no one was – and thank God for that. So I got some crap for saying that. I misspoke. What I meant was no life-threatening injuries and nobody in critical condition as far as we know. Nothing's been reported as such, and thank God for that. So that's I do want to say that. And yeah, we condemned him leaving the scene. He should have never left. And we also get the fact that he was a part of what appeared to be street racing at 6 p.m. in Dallas. We also condemned that as well. So like, as far as that, that's all the facts that we know. And still, though, and I think someone was like, well, in the TMZ video, someone said, oh, there's guns in the car. We don't know that. Police haven't said that. Someone filming with the phone saying that, it's like, okay, I'm not going to listen to some person narrating. If we find out that was the case, okay. But we don't know that. Still, we don't
know that. Yeah, we deal with it then. You know, and they'll deal with it accordingly, right? As they should. So we're not saying he shouldn't have his feet held to the fire, right? He's saying he should be held responsible. Everybody else is sitting there saying he should have been held responsible. You know, that's why they were searching for him, because of all the things that happened. So my thing is, when people are saying different things, nobody knows these things. They don't know until these things come out, the evidence. That's why I was sitting there saying, I told some dude, I said, hey, man, listen. You have proven, you have said that you have done things in the past. You made poor decisions. Now, did you start making poor decisions when you was just young, or are you still making poor decisions and mistakes? I'm sure it's still happening. If not, I said, maybe you don't want to, your angel wings ain't allowing you to touch the ground with the rest of us. You know what I mean? You know, you come down here to earth with your halo on, you know, and your garment not to be touched. Hey, what's going on? You know, so for the rest of us who are down here and sinful and make mistakes and all those different things, these things, you know, it's a part of life that nobody wants to live. The tragedy of it, okay? Nobody. There is reconciliation there, okay? We need to understand that. And so that's the most important thing is when you move forward, where are you moving forward to? What are you doing, all right? And so I don't know. I think people just want to come in, oh, you dirtbag, and you know, you need to be done, and that, blah, 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 and such. Hey, man, if you're looking for that type of response for us, I don't think you know who we are, okay? And I'm going to tell you who I am. I am a sinner saved by grace, okay? And thank God, you know, I have somebody that saved me from all these things, these sin things I have. I know it. I know the things that I've done in the past, okay? I know I've made bad decisions in the past, poor decisions. Hey, guess what? I'm not done with it. Marcus, I guarantee I'll probably make another mistake or a bad decision, okay? Maybe unknowingly. But I tell you what, as a man who's lived my life to the time to where I am right now, what I can do and what I'm in a position to do, what I'm doing right now is actually talking to younger people. I'm helping them with the blueprint with life. I'm telling them how they can live life a little bit better, how they can make better decisions about their life, okay? Not that you're going to be perfect, but maybe you can have a full throttle and awareness about all the things around you about what's going on. Hopefully that will keep them from making the mistakes and seeing some of these pitfalls is out here right now. So that's how I feel about it. That's where I am with it. So if this is not okay with you to say, well, JD should have been pounding on this guy. He didn't give enough of an elbow to, and he probably should have suplexed him on whatever it is. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you who I am. Okay. All right. So I'm thankful. Praise God for, believe me, I say it all the time. I am thankful. Praise God for him. All right. So hopefully we'll give that grace.
Yeah. And I think at some point, it's not just this Rashee Rice thing. I think just in general, overall, when it comes to athletes, it seems like the public discourse is that we expect more from 23-year-old, 22-year-old kids, 23-year-old guys than our elected officials. And it's like, and I know we don't talk politics here. We don't get into any of that. That's for other channels or other networks and stuff. But it's funny that like it appears sometimes we expect more from these 22-year-old guys just out of college than we do the people we vote for. And it's just like, what's going on? I mean, what's wrong? I mean, like, I don't know. I just. With people like you said, JD, people need to give him some grace. And we also, and beyond that, we need to figure out the facts of this whole thing. Because as of right now, all we know and what we condemn is that he left the scene of a hit and ran.
Yes,
was a part of that, and he was a part of racing on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And those two are bad, and we call that out. That's all we know right now. So to say, oh, cut him, get him out of the league, no place for that. It's like, okay. That's, and if someone called me out for saying I call people out for overreacting, yes, cutting him for all we know, that's overreaction. So,
right.
And I stick to that.
I think sometimes, man, it's just a bad look when you turn your back on people, especially in times when they're at their worst. I think it is, you know, because then it's even a spiral down even worse than something like that. Guy, and I said, here's a guy who's been on this high of winning these past year. You get drafted, you're close to your hometown, you just won a Super Bowl, you want to celebrate a little bit, all these different things, right? Hey, man, at 22 years old, 23 years old, when we know, psychologists say it, everything is, you're not developed all the way through, right? In your mentality, okay, in decision making. You know, things, man, it's a bad situation all the way around, man, but I no doubt about it. Put your arms around him at this moment. He'll get better, and we got to make sure we're doing that too, man. So, that's all I wanted to say, brother. That's it.
The people who were hurt by this, who are in the hospital, I don't know if they still are, but I hope for a speedy recovery. And again, thank God there weren't life-threatening injuries in this because it could have very well gone that way, but it didn't.
Right, right. And they need some type of, you know, the justice and you know, the reconciliation that they deserve, okay, to be held accountable for the things that have they been wronged, right? No doubt about that. So, like I said, man, as a father of four children, all right, and a coach of a lot of young men, right? I see the landscape, and everybody don't do a lot of things. They make mistakes. They make mistakes. This is when I come in. This is when I, you know, intervene. I try to intervene before these things do happen, all right? And hopefully, like I said, it'll, you know, extinguish some of these things from happening. But people live their life, man. Things do happen, man. But I thank everybody. I see people in the chat saying the thing, same thing. You know, if you live life, man, you learn and you live and you want to do better. And so we hope he learned it, he's living, he's doing better. It's humility that he's got to deal with right now, you know? And I know sometimes this somberness that he has will take hold of him, all right? Take hold of him. And I hope he goes to these families, whatever happened, you know, like I said, still trying to get all the details, man, and he makes amends with them somehow, some way with these things, man. But it's just a bad situation. Nobody wants to be in this. Nobody wants to. So,
all right. So we wanted to make sure we address that. We'll touch on later on the show a different angle of it. It's not really about Rashee Rice and this incident, but it's a different angle of how, as a team, how do we approach this going forward. But so we're going to begin here with some breaking news this week. Was finally getting a backup quarterback. The Blaine Gabbert experiment is over, I guess. And now we're on to Carson Wentz, which, JD, I'm ecstatic. I wanted him last year, and I got called out on our Twitter account from people saying, oh, he's a poison, he's a cancer in the locker room, we don't want him in there. I think, you know, he's a talented guy, top two pick when he came out in 2016. But Chiefs have finally got their backup quarterback. Last year, the Chiefs were interested in bringing in Carson Wentz, but a year later, he comes to Kansas City. At 31, Wentz becomes the youngest quarterback to back up Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy, at 31 years old. He signs a one-year deal in Kansas City to learn from the QB guru or whisperer and Andy Reid. JD, what are your thoughts on the Carson Wentz move as our backup quarterback in Kansas City?
You know what? When I heard the news, I'm like, where did this come out of just left field? You know, this signing Carson Wentz. But I tell you, man, look, I like it. I like Carson Wentz. I do. I think he's a very talented quarterback. He's been somewhat of an enigma to me his entire career in the NFL for the simple fact that we see his talent. We've seen what he's been able to do, you know, scores up in Philly, you know, taking them really to the Super Bowl and the folk taking over and you know, winning. And, you know, Carson Wentz team doing those things, right? So he has a lot of talent. Carson Wentz is probably our most accomplished backup that we've had behind Patrick Mahomes, without a doubt. And I went through the numbers. It's not even close. With game-winning drives, the thing he's been able to do. But somehow, I don't know, his career has kind of derailed itself, where he's maybe not as elite, where everybody was putting him in the elite category. Like, literally, probably 5 years ago, everybody was talking about Carson Wentz was really, you know, catching it, you know, top 10 quarterback in the league. Yeah. No doubt about it, right? Everybody wanted him. He's a big guy, big arm, can make any throw you wanted to make. And it just seemed like things just start tailing off. Okay, he goes to different places. Heck, I think he's been in the league, I don't know how many years, but he done played on Commanders, Indianapolis, now the Chiefs, Rams, Eagles. I mean, that's five teams right there, Marcus. You know, it's short to short span. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like, what is it about Carson Wentz that he's just not making do with other places, right? So I don't know. But to me, I think this is a solid transaction for us to get Carson Wentz here. Like I said, some guys at the end of the game, not taken away from them, Blaine Gabbert and, you know, obviously Chad Henning. But Carson Wentz, if you need to throw a couple of balls, you know, he could throw the football. You ain't got no question about that, man. And I think you'll do well here. just in case if Patrick needs a break or something happened, Carson Wentz could be able to carry the game. Not to mention, you know, he was under Doug Peterson up there in Philadelphia, so he understands the offense. He's got all that down. And I'm sure because there was talk and conversation he'll come out here last year, part of the reason that he is here in Kansas City is probably Andy talked to Doug Peterson, what type of guy is he, what type of winner. He knows all of that. He's been in Philly, and he's got all the goods on him, all the good and the bad about Carson Wentz. So this is not something that was, you know, just kind of like on the humbug, like, oh, what are we doing? I'm sure they vetted him thoroughly, you know, to get him here. So I like it.
It's also like he's trying to like revamp his career in a way. Like he spends a year. So we talked about, so Eagles to Washington, or Eagles, Indianapolis, Washington, and then to the Rams last year under Sean McVay. And that's another guy who's another offensive genius. And then he comes to Andy Reid. It's like, okay, he's trying to rebuild himself again and kind of, you know, recharacterize how people see him going from McVay to Andy Reid. And then hopefully, you know, maybe he looks good in week 18 and he gets a little Matt Flynn kind of deal where he looks good in that week 18 game and he gets paid in the offseason. I mean, that's how that's going to happen. But I love it. I think we're just talking about Mahomes' backups. We say it's the youngest backup he's had in his short career so far. But Chad Henne, Matt Moore, Blaine Gabbert, and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is by far the most talented of all those guys, on top of being the youngest. And one thing, too, which a lot of people are saying, we've only run one QB sneak with Patrick Mahomes, and that was that injury where he got in the Denver Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, one of the biggest things he was successful at in his career is the QB sneak. So that's something that could be, you know, Andy likes to cook up a lot of different things. He's a guy who could maybe come in on third and shorts, fourth and inches kind of thing, come in and do a QB sneak here and there. I love that aspect of it. That's a lot of people are talking about online. What do you think about that aspect of it, the QB sneak element to it all?
I mean, you know, that's something that's a plus for us, right? It's definitely a plus. So if you had to put him in for that play, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, this sucker's 6'5", man, 237. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. He'll lean over. He can do all that. That's another thing, man. He's just massive in size. You know what I'm saying? Big frame. I saw him. I didn't have a chance to talk to him. He was down here at one of the church services. So he actually married a girl who went to school right up the street from me, from Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, I don't know how they got together. But I remember being in church, and they was like, well, the guy Carson Wentz. I'm like, oh, okay. So I didn't know because one of my kids I was coaching was like, hey, Coach, Carson Wentz is down there. I said, man, I had to go down and go talk to him. I think by that time he was already gone. But be able to see him. Now, Donna Cochran, actually, she made a Donna. You said something out here talking about, once again, mentally, it's hard when people criticize you. There's a statue for Nick Foles in Philadelphia. Wentz got them almost there before his injury. He was never the same since. That's true. That's true. It just seemed like he just went downhill, and there was criticism among Carson Wentz because he didn't get to win it all. But he got injured. What are you supposed to do with that guy? During the seasons that he played, when you look at his numbers, I mean, shoot, Marcus. I mean, talking about, you know, 2016, he had 3,700 yards, 3,200 next year, 3,000, 4,000, 2019. Then he 2,600, 2020, 2021, 3,500. So we're talking about somebody who is very accomplished in the things that he does. So there is criticism because sometimes he'll take chances. He'll throw balls. And you can see when these balls come out, you know, he's thinking, I get this ball there. And maybe not as good as a decision that he should, because he has a big arm, right? You just trust it. You trust in your ability. So I don't think he has any problem with his confidence in him playing. It's other people that's going to criticize that, right? I'm good with Carson Wentz, man. I think it's a good signer for us. I do.
I love it. And also, too, which is interesting, everyone's mentioning Nick Foles here. I saw, you know, I'm a Sixers fan, so I'm in those Philadelphia circles, so I've seen what these people have to say with these Philadelphia fans, and they're saying, oh, man, here we go again. You know, Nick Foles was in Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, comes back to Philadelphia, was the backup to Carson Wentz. The year that many people said that Carson Wentz probably would have won MVP that year, and then he gets hurt in week 14. Right. Nick Foles ends up being the quarterback and wins the Super Bowl that year. Everyone's saying maybe, same kind of thing. He comes to Kansas City, gets right with Andy, you know, Andy, you know, fixes him, do whatever Andy does to his quarterbacks, and potentially goes back to Philadelphia, he can be the guy who comes in if for whatever reason for Jalen Hurts in the future, he can lead him to a championship. So, I mean, like, there is, I mean, the fact that maybe he even talked to Nick Foles too. Maybe that was something. That could be something where he's, hey, like, go see Andy, be with him for a year, kind of, you know, get right. I mean, like, he'll teach you some things that you may have never seen before. And you kind of look at the game a little differently. So, I mean, I think as much as it's going to help us as far as having a reliable backup for the, you know, for if God forbid anything happens to Mahomes, but for if it all just QB sneaks, we finally have a guy who I'm not scared. Like, oh man, like we have to go a whole season with Blaine Gabbert. You know, like I wouldn't be as scared. Obviously, Mahomes and Wentz are different levels, but I wouldn't be as scared having Carson Wentz. Whereas we're looking at guys like Shane Buechele or Gabbert, but right. Like it's beneficial for us. And also him being able to be under the tutelage of Andy Reid for even just a year.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think it's a win-win situation, you know, for him and for us. So it's going to be a good relationship. Like you said, it could be something revamping his career to get him back on track, maybe going somewhere else. I don't think it is a better scenario than him being here in Kansas City. And I think you see him smiling in that picture. That's like he's going to be that happy when he gets here. I guarantee it. You know, so good for him, good for the Chiefs. So,
yeah, it's a great move. When I saw that happen, I was like, oh, okay, so this is what we were waiting for, this Legarius Sneed trade to finally process so we can go pick up our backup quarterback.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, that wasn't just it, JD. We got your our next topic here is your guy, CEH, is back in the building, baby.
Hey, what? Oh, my goodness. CEH, back in the building, baby. Back in the building.
It came as a complete shock because the day he gets re-signed, we bring in J.K. Dobbins for a few hours, apparently. And obviously, I don't know what that was. We use it as a negotiating tactic with CEH. Hey, J.K. Dobbins in the building. Well, you know, like, you're going to sign on the dotted line or whatever. I don't know. But a few hours after J.K. Dobbins is in the building, we bring in CEH back to a one-year deal. Obviously, CEH is one of those divisive topics in Chiefs Kingdom. You got people who are pro CEH, the people who aren't big CEH fans who just wanted him to go find a place elsewhere to be out of Kansas City. But you and I happen to be big CEH guys, and he's back. And honestly, based on what we did the running back review a couple weeks ago, we saw there's not a lot of meat out there as far as the running backs in free agency. CEH knows the system already. And here's one thing that I think if we don't end up bringing Jerick McKinnon back, What are your thoughts on the fact that we could bring CH back in to be the Jerick McKinnon role and finally utilize the receiving skills that you and I talked about that he was so good at coming out of college and why Mahomes really wanted him was his receiving ability, but we can finally let loose and actually utilize him out of the backfield if we don't bring back Jerick McKinnon?
Okay. So here's my take all in the running back room. I've seen a lot of people talk about it. This is JD's take on this, okay? Look, I like the signing of CEH back. I really do. I think Marcus, like you said, if we utilize him the way that we brought him in initially to be, that bodes well for us, okay? Then Pacheco comes in, runs the football hard, give him a break, bring CEH in. I think CEH showed last year that he's still capable of running the football. Now, obviously, we don't run the whole outside zone. Maybe let him get something down here a little bit more, right? Let him do some other things instead of that. Something where his shoulders are squared to the line of scrimmage. All right, I always talk about this. But I do like the CEH signing. I do. I think, man, they probably came in and start pulling on J.K. Dobbins' legs and stuff, and a bolt fell out. Now they were like, uh-oh, we can't sign this guy. I don't know. I we still might get J.K. Dobbins here, so I'm just being funny. But I do like the signing of CEH. I think it gives us a legitimate backup, a legitimate guy. And let's say you don't sign McKinnon. I still believe in Daenerys Prince. I still do. We talk about, you know, going to the draft, getting a guy, a running back, and, you know, running backs up in the air. I mean, seriously, you can have guys that are very good running backs, and you never know what you're going to get out of them. We didn't know he's going to get a seventh-round pick and get Pacheco. If we decide to go get a running back, I don't think we use a high pick to go get a running back. Because somebody was saying, you know, first four rounds. Absolutely not. Not for me. For me, stay away from that. You want to go get somebody later on? Fine, that you might find a diamond in the rough, because you do find those guys who are diamond in roughs, i.e. Pacheco. I think that's the route you need to go. We got CEH. Then we also got, like I said, we have, Daenerys Prince that could back up Pacheco. Not to mention the other guys that we have there too, right? So I think with CEH coming in, it gives us a little bit more of a solid core group of guys in that building. So that's why I like CEH. I like this signing. I think it's a great idea. He understands the offense. You got to kind of teach a guy when he comes in what he's got to do. I know everybody kept talking about J.K. Dobbins, man. J.K. Dobbins, when was the last time he had a full season without being hurt and injured? I'll wait.
I don't think he has, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
He's looked good in flashes.
Yeah, right. Hey, Tommy Max, yo, what's up, Tommy? Listen, Tommy, I'm going to say this, right? So maybe you don't put CH for the blocking. You know, that's when, if Daenerys Prince is doing his job, that's the guy that you use and you utilize for that, right? And so don't put him in a situation that you know he may not be as capable of, right? Like, there's no reason to put him out there just to put him out there. Well, go out there and block for this defense. Put somebody in here who is capable of doing that job. Hopefully they can find that guy in Prince, you know, to do that. He's a bigger back. He's a guy that don't mind. Like we said, a man of a man of few words, right? And so hopefully the hitting goes on the field is what he's doing, okay? So my thing is, man, I do like the CH thing. We utilize them the way we're supposed to. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. So
I don't know, John. I'm not going to call out P. Ryan, but there was a couple times where he did get some carries this year, and it looked like as soon as he got that ball, he was just a dive into a 1 yard loss. And I mean, yeah, he didn't get him in many touches, but yeah, P. Ryan looked great in that last preseason game. The few touches he did get during the season, and he didn't really do much with it. So quite frankly, like, I'd be okay with them going with CEH, Pacheco, and Prince, actually seeing what we have with Prince, as opposed to LaMichael P. Ryan, who has already gotten his chances with us and other teams. Let's see some of these other guys who haven't gotten a shot yet. If we are going to go that route and keeping CEH and Pacheco and then testing the waters with our third guy.
Right. Like, we already know what we got in CEH. She said, wasn't Zamet listed as running back? So he's listed as offensive weapon. That's what he is. So he can do it all. And so maybe they can find out that this guy goes and hits people dead in the mouth. If it is, then we lucked out. Then we got it. So we had to go get somebody else, scramble to try to find, you know, another guy. I'm good with it. For me, I think that with the CEA signing, having somebody that you know the offense, the guys know him, you know what you're going to get out of him, this is a good signing for me. Okay.
Yeah. And do you think, he's been with the team for 4 years now, comes back for this 1 year thing. Do you think there is a shot they actually could finally utilize him in the way that he was supposed to be drafting? My fear is that obviously, if we don't bring back McKinnon, someone's got to fill that role of being more of the receiving back, but also the kind of, you know, being a third down blocker. But also, I'm just kind of scared we're going to bring him back and it's going to be business as usual. We're going to use CH like we've always used CH. And
yeah,
it'd be disappointing because, like, there's a huge missed opportunity here, which I don't know why they're not utilizing him in the way he was drafted. And it's still the biggest mystery to me. And I'm surprised you're bringing him back. When we talked about on our running back show, we were talking about how that was such a big mystery, them kind of not utilizing him in the way he should have been utilized. Maybe they do that finally. What do you think the chances are of them finally doing it that way after 5 years?
You know, they'll evaluate everything, all his plays last year, how they utilize him, Marcus, and hopefully they'll rectify that this year, obviously, by saying, look, we didn't utilize him like we thought we were going to do. Let's do a much better job of that, okay? So I'm going to trust the coaches to do that, to see the same thing you've seen. It was like, hey, man, why we have CEJ in this one? Like, we should have him on this play. Like, yeah, you're right. We should. Swing routes, screens, or, you know, going down to here. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's do that. So a lot of during offseason is when that evaluation goes. So hopefully, Marcus, you're sitting and saying something in their ear and they're hearing it right now. Maybe they're peering in on our show and saying, okay, what are Marcus and Jason saying? And they take our advice, right? So let's see. We'll see.
I remember we drafted and the player comps came out. I was like, oh, he's Brian Westbrook. Oh, really? He's Brian Westbrook. Utilize him like Brian Westbrook, for crying out loud.
And yeah, hopefully
it happens finally this year, 5 years in. All right. So he mentioned
– he did good to us, too. I mean, he made some plays for us last year. He looked good.
He did. Yeah. When he had to step up when Pacheco was out for a game or two, yeah, he looked pretty solid.
He did.
That Patriots game, let's not forget that jump he had that in the back of the end zone to catch that thing.
I want to see more of that. That's what I want to see, more of that.
He shows it. That's the thing. It's like, oh my gosh, he's got receiving abilities, guys. Let's come on, Andy. Mm-hmm. You're the genius. Yeah. Let's go. All right, so now we're going to talk about a little bit about the receiver room. There was some news this week that we were interested in Tyler Boyd that came out. Obviously, the OBJ is still out there, but the Tyler Boyd was more news from The Athletic this week that we were interested in Tyler Boyd, which I'd love. Obviously this whole Rashee Rice thing is going to evolve. We don't know what's going to happen with it. What if there's going to be suspension looming? There's a lot of uncertainty there and around this whole situation, how the league's going to be kind of looking at it. And Adam Schefter reported this week that officials from the league office are keeping a close eye on the entire Rashee Rice situation. And obviously with it being the Chiefs, you're going to have a lot of pressure from other NFL teams saying, hey, you need to punish these guys. You need to punish these guys. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but so we've already brought in Hollywood Brown, and you and I have already said, even before this whole Rashee Rice situation, we should draft a receiver and make that a high priority in rounds one or two to get a receiver and also sign a veteran. So you and I were already saying, hey, bring in one more young guy and bring in a veteran. But with this whole uncertainty surrounding this Rashee Rice situation, do you think the Chiefs would be wise to bring in at least three receivers between the draft and free agency, JD?
Okay, three receivers. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it at all. I think maybe two it would be enough for us. I don't know. We need to go get that third guy. You know, we got Hollywood Brown here. Okay. And if we go get another free agent guy, I think it'd be good. And then go in the draft, get a first rounder, somebody who can take the top off the defense, can do all the things. There's some really talented wide receivers out there in the draft. If we get a free agent guy and another young guy, I think it's going to be, I think it'd be enough, because we still got Travis Kelce here, right? We got weapons around here. Some guys in limbo, obviously we don't know how Tony's going to work out in this whole situation. You know, same thing with Sky Moore in this, but we do know we have, you know, Hollywood Brown. The whole thing up in the air with Rashee Rice, we don't know how that's going to shake out. We just don't. We don't know, okay? But if you had to think worst-case scenarios, how do you get prepared with this? Who do you bring in, right? You could bring in three. I think two is going to be enough for me. I think two is enough. Tyler Boyd is somebody that is a very talented guy. I like Tyler Boyd. I do. I think he fit well here. The question is, what is he going to want? What's going to be, you know, the asking price? You know, what is he looking for? That's always the thought process. You could even say, because everybody's bringing up OBJ, and then, you know, everybody's bringing up all these different names and stuff. So you got to go get a young gun. I think this wide receiver draft is so deep, you could possibly get a guy in the first round and maybe, like, say, a fourth or something, right, and still get a capable guy. Because there's going to be a lot of those talented wide receivers that's going to fall, you know, toward, you know, the back end of things. Me first, if Boyd is looking to get paid, probably. Yeah, he's definitely looking to get paid. Looking to get paid.
At this point, though, I mean, most teams have already given out their bigger deals. I mean, like, well, when he gets, I mean, at this point, JD, like, walk me through what players' minds, what are you guys thinking at this point? Like, okay, like, at this point, I'm not going to get the money that I wanted initially when we first came into this, based on how a lot of money's dried up and teams are waiting to see what happens after the draft. But then also, too, like, where do you prioritize winning and also being able to play for a good quarterback who can maybe up your value going into next year? And then plus, with this Rice situation, if you're a receiver, like, looking at that, like, oh, man, like, there might be a vacancy there for at least a good chunk of the season, and I won't be the number two or number three guy. I could possibly be maybe a number one for a time being, for a little bit, which I wouldn't be if I went, you know, say Carolina or something like that.
Yeah. My thing is this. If you decide, if the draft, You're looking for your number one receiver. You're looking for a guy to come in and plug and play right now. Right? I mean, this is what you're looking for, okay? So Tyler Boyd and getting a contract with him and trying to, you know, deal with, you know, whatever you want to do in the mix and you know, as far as with the draft. I mean, man, there's a lot of scenarios there. I mean, you know, we could think up a lot of different ways and pathways to get different guys here and whatnot, Marcus, the way I look at it. But Tyler Boyd is like you said, maybe in different contracts, Tyler Boyd, how you thinking about him, what he's going to get paid. I don't know. That's all that's going in the room. What do you think he's worth? Let me ask you this. What do you think he's worth? What do you think he's looking for? What would you pay for him?
I think talent wise, I think Hollywood Brown's a more talented receiver than him. So for me, I wouldn't pay him more than what we were paying to Hollywood Brown. I would offer him pretty much the exact same contract we're offering Hollywood Brown, about 1 year, $11 million with incentives. I mean, that's where I would go with it.
Okay. So we got two guys on the books for 1 year deals. Okay. Right. And I don't know if the Chiefs want to do that. I mean, you can. I mean, Hollywood Brown, and then get a guy for $6 million, you know, eight, 1 year deal. I would try to get a guy like, look, man, we won't do 1 year deals and learn another guy again. Let's try to get a guy for a number of years. So let's say you say Tyler Boyd, okay? You say, give him 3 years, $8 million each year, 24 years, you know, whatever, right? Or 3 years, $30 million, okay? And you guarantee a certain amount of money there with it, right? As opposed to the 1 year, then you gone somewhere else. Would a guy sign that?
I guess strategically, right? So let's say you do okay, talk about the three receiver spot, right? Because with the unknown with Rice. So let's say you do bring in the veteran, because you and I are both in agreement that we do need a veteran in this room. It's veteran too young, especially with stuff that's going on right now with, you know, the inexperiences and the maturation of a lot of these young guys. You talk about, so you bring in a veteran. So let's say it is Tyler Boyd, and that is a 1 year deal. Then we talk about how deep this draft class is with a receiver. Then you say, okay, we go round one receiver and then we go round four receiver, because it's going to be such a deep draft class. You'll be able to find in any other draft a second round, third round talent, but in round four or five this year. Then you draft two guys. And then so when the offseason comes, we can say, okay, and let's say those two guys hit. Obviously, we got to see if they hit. Mm-hmm. Those two 1 year guys are off the books. Then you have these other guys who become sophomore receivers, and you have two guys from this draft class. So I guess that's why I would say the 1 year deal route. Obviously, that's also what Veach loves, is the 1 year guys who are going to accept a 1 year, $3 million deal or something. But then you spend the draft capital on two young guys. And then in this process, Rashee Rice becomes a 30 receiver, and you have one more year of Sky Moore, and who knows how long we have with Tony.
So you still leave yourself in a position not having a veteran guy
the following season.
Exactly. Right, which I think you need a guy that's going to be there to grow with those young receivers. I think that if you're going to do that, get somebody who's going to be there. That's why I said, instead of just giving these one year deals, try to find a way to keep him here, you know, at least two or three, maybe in your career here. Maybe a big, you know, screw you to the Bengals, like, oh, you see Tyler Boyd over doing the end, right? True. So I like to sign him to a long-term deal, 3 year. Shoot, maybe giving him, you know, maybe $11 million. Because in the third year, it's going to, you know, we're going to get more money back. You know what I'm saying? The cap's going to go up. You know, it'll look like a great deal after the third year that you have it. Okay. I don't know.
Do you think he's more talented receiver than Tyler Boyd? I guess Tyler Boyd, do you think he's a more talented receiver than Hollywood Brown?
I think they have different games.
Right. Yeah.
Tyler Boyd has done some things that always piques my mind. I was like, oh, shoot, it's Tyler Boyd. He's a hell of a receiver. I think he's a hell of a two receiver. You know what I'm saying? I think it mixes in where, Tyler Boyd, you've seen him make plays and he's, you know, in his games. I'm just looking right here, man. So he had his best year was 90 receptions in 2019. Okay. Year after that, he had 79, 67, 58, 67. Obviously, with what's the name coming in? T. Higgs.
Changes things.
Changes things, right? But he was a capable wide receiver. We see that 90, 79. Come on. So we know we could do it. We know that we can do it. That's why I said if you get a young guy, right? And I know somebody said Leggett. Yeah, I see him, man. He's a Power Ranger. Okay. Big dude catching the ball well. Right. I think bringing three guys to me is like it's overkill. That's how I feel. Because you get another crowded wide receiver room is what you do. Unless you're going to have a legit shot of saying these guys are going to play. Like we're bringing guys to come in and play, not getting bodies. We're getting guys here to play. And you still have to wonder about what are you going to do with Tony? How is that going to work out? Sky Moore, the same thing with him. You still got Justin Watson on the payroll. You start becoming a crowded room, man.
Well, it would tell you that they're not satisfied with what's in the room. If that is the case, they do go three receivers. And it also tells you how much they love this receiver draft class. If that does happen.
Well, I tell you, shoot, they, if that was the case, man, they would have got rid of Tony if they weren't okay with it. Right. Yeah. I mean, why keep him? Why keep him in limbo? If you're not okay with it, you know what I'm saying? You should have been chopping him around to see what, you know, you could have got out of him or, you know, keep him moving.
Yeah.
So I think there might be some hope there. Go ahead.
Rick Henderson puts, this is very similar to the draft where we took Mecole Hardman. It is. The parallels there are extremely similar. Tyreek Hill, the whole thing comes out with him, you know, allegedly beating his kid at the time or whatever that the story was that became false. But yeah, and then we didn't know that came out like the night of the draft. And we didn't know what we were doing. Then we ended up taking Harmon in the second round of that draft. It's like, okay, could this be the guy to fill in for Tyreek Hill or replace Tyreek Hill? I mean, yeah, that was it was very similar to what's going on here as far as the unknowns. And hopefully in 3 weeks' time, we have some kind of, you know, a little bit clearer. We know clearer about what's going on with this Rashee Rice situation. So, like, they can go in this draft not blind. They can go into it and see what they need to do and how long Rashee Rice is going to be out. Because – Does that change things, JD? So I know we're hypothetical. So yeah, let's say Rashee Rice, they say, oh, half a season, and NFL steps in half a season. Does that make you as a GM? Does that make you change the way you kind of go into this draft?
No, I still want to get two guys. Two guys to me is going to be enough. You got Hollywood Brown. You only got one football. You got Pacheco's going to get the ball. You got Hollywood Brown's going to get the ball. You got Travis Kelce going to get the football. Let's say T. Higgins and your first rounder. That's enough for me for the ball to go around. They don't need nobody else. And then you got Tony over on the side. That will – our wide receiver room is going to be legitimately better than what it was last year. Damn. Okay? Past 2 years, to be honest with you, if you get two guys in here. Right? I mean, seriously. Okay? And the whole cliffhanger with Rashee Rice not knowing where he's going to be. Rick Henderson said 3 years, $11 million in a year with incentives like no high speed racing off freeways. Come on, Rick. Rick. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you better put some stuff in the contract. But I do think you give him something. You give him something that will try to keep him here. I don't know what that's going to be, but I do like his veteran presence. I think he's a guy that is very capable of still catching 70, 80 balls this year. Rashee Rice was a godsend to us. We didn't know we was going to get out of this guy. We knew he's good. Okay. But we didn't know he was going to become our number one, right? So let's just say that we have a guy that we draft this year, Marcus, right, in the first round. And he becomes our proverbial Rashee Rice, who he was last year for us, okay? I would say that some of the receivers that's coming out in the draft are just as good as Rashee Rice, if not better. Absolutely, there are some that's better than Rashee Rice, at least from what we've seen as far as, you know, the context of athletic ability, all those different things in college. Yeah. So I think we can definitely get a guy in the draft, man, that can give us the type of productivity that we got out of Rashee Rice. And then get another guy here.
Just to go back to that Tyler Boyd thing, how would you see Tyler Boyd fitting? Let's say Rice is back, Hollywood Brown's there, and Kelce. How would Tyler Boyd fit into this offense? Would it be like a Juju type fit? Would that be kind of the role he would play?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a guy that you could probably play probably both positions, to be honest with you. You could move him in and out. He's just that other guy that if you're trying to cover the other two, your other two guys, Tyler Boyd's going to cook you up. He's the one that you didn't account for, right? That's what I'm saying. So if you get a guy like him here, then how are you going to stop him? So he's legitimate, like one or two during that time. He comes in, Rashee Rice is down for us. He comes in, Hollywood Brown, Tyler Boyd, you solid. You solid. You solid the wide receiver position. And did you get your first round draft pick or second, however you want to do it? You got a good receiving core there, man. So that's why the Hollywood Brown signing was so vital for us to get him while we got him. Okay. We didn't know how, you know, obviously with these things right now and how it is, we didn't know it was going to be such a good idea than what it was. We knew we was going to get somebody. We needed to get somebody anyway. But yeah, I think that was a good signing for us, man. So we legitimately had to go ahead, man, and shake this whole thing out to see where Tyler Boyd is. People done said OBJ, you know, was another guy. But I like people are sitting there saying in the chat, you definitely got to go one or two wide receiver O-line if you're doing that. But wide receiver's got to be one of your top priorities, no doubt about it, okay? Yeah. Does it change now on saying, well, now we definitely got to take a wide receiver in the first round as opposed to offensive tackle if we were thinking of that, right? If we're moving up, who are we going to get? So there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we still agree on that wide receiver is as much of a priority as it was before this Rashee Rice incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't get a guy in free agency, then I say that you go get, yeah, definitely.
Two guys,
yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Especially as good as this draft is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing some research. Brandon Rice, who I'm huge on, Jerry Rice's kid, also represented by Rashee Rice's agent, which is – funny, he's big on rice guys, I guess.
He likes rice,
yeah. Yeah. I don't blame him. All right, so we're going to go to our final topic here. This is something that has been all over my timeline. You know, as a guy who doesn't live in Kansas City, he's just been a lifelong Chiefs fan, no bearings, no ties to Kansas City. This has been on my mind, so I'm just seeing all these people from Kansas City, Jackson County, all these Kansas people who want the Chiefs over there. So after lots of chatter over the last few weeks, voters in Jackson County have rejected a 40-year extension of a 3/8-cent sales tax. The extension would have helped fund a new downtown stadium for the Kansas City Royals and maintain and repair Arrowhead Stadium. Voters rejected the stadium tax by a margin of 58% to 42%. Over 78,000 voters said no. Chiefs President Mark Donovan had a few things to say at a watch party after the event last night. I'll play that right here.
First and foremost, we've been talking a lot about the democratic process. We respect the process. We respect the decision of the Jackson County voters today. We're disappointed. We feel we put forth the best offer for Jackson County. We were ready to extend the longstanding partnership that the teams have enjoyed with this county. This is important. We want to thank everyone that worked tirelessly on our behalf. We truly appreciate all the effort, all the time, and all the work that you all put in. We will do and will look to do what is in the best interest of our fans and our organization as we move forward.
So, JD, the thing that stands out to me is the end there is the we're going to do what's best for our fans and the organization as we move forward. And I think today there was someone said that they've already met, our front office officials have already met with some of the state legislators in Kansas. So, I mean, they obviously probably already knew. I mean, these people always, every vote, there's always people doing the research beforehand, knowing how the thing was going to go. And I think they did probably maybe know that was going to go on, that they were going to lose the battle. So maybe they've already, you know, had things in play with other states there in the surrounding areas. And then right before we came on, the mayor of Dallas said he will welcome Kansas City. Of course he would. The Cowboys haven't won in a very long time, so they want some kind of champion there. But obviously Dallas Texans used to be that was the old Chiefs franchise, the Dallas Texans, and then before moving to Kansas City. So there is some historical ties there. But JD, were you surprised by this vote based on everything we've been seeing and reading over the last few weeks?
Was I surprised by this vote? No, I wasn't surprised by it. And sometimes, man, you know, voter turnout is not going to be high. I think what it was like 14%, I think, of the so it wasn't really a high turnout of voters coming out to make this decision. Okay, I'm gonna give two mindsets. I think everybody understands kind of the mindset with their thinking. I do believe that this is the no vote is sitting there saying we don't want to be taxed more money than what we're getting taxed, because we're getting taxed enough money now. And while we're fronting money toward people who have money, who have resources, right? This is the reason people will vote no. That's it, bottom line. That's what it is. They say, hey, man, look, the Chiefs have been making money for a long time. The Hunt's got a lot of money. You know, everybody's counting their coins. Everybody's counting their dollars. Everybody's counting the Dore Mi. So that's what it is. I don't know if, like, as far as the renovations to the stadium, necessarily was the reason they said no. It was like, oh, man, we need better renovations than that. I think the renovations look awesome. I think, man, that was amazing what they was going to do. And the thing is, having it to collaborate with the Royals in this whole thing too, man, was that was probably the shocking thing, because the Royals thing in it as well, the element, would have been great for downtown. So I don't know, you know, I don't live in Kansas City anymore. I'm just the thought process of people I do hear from there. I've heard, you know, obviously the arguments on both sides, what people are talking about. People are talking about going out there to Kansas is, you know, you have, you know, these areas out here that would be great for them to be out there by the Speedway. Plenty of land out there, plenty of land. Okay. Obviously they said the Chiefs don't bought a whole lot of acreage out there anyway, for projected, sites. Look, are people upset with Chiefs leaving? Yes. Yeah, some people will be, some of those people probably needed to come out to vote, and you probably didn't. I'm one of those, like, if you want to change it, the direction of things, hey, be involved in the voting. Be involved in the democratic process if you're going to do that. You needed more people to do it. But I think some people felt like it was kind of shoved down their throats. Hey, this is what you have to do. We're not going to do it. We're going to hold you hostage, right? I think that's how people felt. Like, man, we don't quite like that. We don't quite like being taxed more money. Nobody likes that. Nobody does. It's a win-win for Kansas. Kansas didn't like driving all the way to the Arrowhead anyway. I don't think they don't mind it, but they wanted to be over there, right? So now, is it a possibility? As Donovan said at the end, it is. But I do think they're going to flesh this thing out even more, okay? Maybe they have to turn around and look in their wallets a little bit more, see how much change they got. Like, okay, well, shoot. Maybe we put a couple more million in here or something. Maybe we decide to stay. I just think I'd hate for Arrowhead, and this is me, nostalgia, playing there, the location. I just would hate for the revenue that you're going to be generating for the city to leave. I would hate for that to happen, right? Kansas got plenty of money. They got some of the wealthiest zip codes in America. They got money galore out Kansas. When you drive out Kansas, when I drive out Kansas, I'm like, man, who's making all this money? I'm serious, man. I'm talking about Kansas has a whole lot of money down there, a whole lot of money. There's some huge houses, you know what I mean? I'm in all those neighborhoods. My boys live down there. And I'm just like, look, I know what y'all did for a living. Who's these other people? What they do for a living? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you start looking around, like, who's all these people? They got several neighborhoods like that. So to them, it's you know, it's a lucrative business for them. To them, they ain't got no problem. They've always had the money to do that. I just wouldn't want downtown Kansas City, Kansas City, Missouri, to lose that revenue when you could necessarily have it, right? Is it bothersome building up that area downtown to get this immaculate stadium? I think it'd be great. I think it would. I think it'd be absolutely awesome. I think that you would bring in maybe more opportunity for other people from the outside coming in for downtown if you build it up even more, right? That's what I think. So
do you think that, because I've seen some people online say that the Chiefs should have split up with the Royals. They should have not combined it. They should just be, hey, like, we need $800 million, or because I think they need $500 million. They're putting in $300 million of the Hunt's money, and it's $500 million from the voters. Do you think it probably would have been better off if the Chiefs just, like, split away from the Royals and had it been their own vote?
Man, I to be honest with you, I thought having the Royals and it made it even more enticing. At least for me, I thought, you know, if you're going to build a stadium downtown, and yeah, you get a shoe, why not? You know, because then if all sports teams move out there, right? Then shoot, downtown, you just got, you know, what, the soccer stadium now. I haven't been there yet. I haven't seen it. I've seen pictures of it. It looks awesome. Can't wait to get to a game. And then you got, you know, Sprint Arena and so forth. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And the thing is, because you was able to generate the things because of the Arrowhead Stadium and the Carlton Stadium, that was the thing that brought it in, you know, even more. And that's people staying downtown, because now all of a sudden, shoot, if you don't have Arrowhead and you don't, you know, the Chiefs and you don't have the Royals, you ain't going to have people staying down in those big hotels either. Not. Chris said, what's wrong with Carlton Stadium? I don't think anything. I mean, I don't – shoot. Yeah, see, and everybody's talking about a dome. Some people are in the dome game. Some people are not, Rick. You know what I mean? Myself, I would have liked at least to have the ability for, like, a retractable dome, or at least some semi-cover, okay? I get, same thing, the nostalgia of, you know, the elements. I think we do have an advantage there. But, I some people want to be warm a little bit, you know, cut out some of the air on me.
Yeah. So, well, you also have the people who were impacted by the frostbite action too. I'm sure that would be, because they're saying that they could be, like, liable, that they may be able to, the people who had frostbite, had things amputated, or they actually could sue. So I'm curious to see how that goes, because some of those people at that game were going shirtless and whatnot. So, like,
yeah, you can't put that on. Yeah, you can't put that on. Yeah. Right. You have agency over your own self, right? Your own body. Shoot, cover up, put gloves on. And if you think you're getting to that point, leave. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's forced to be at the game. I'm not trying to sound callous or, you know, less empathetic. But I'm saying if you do, that's what the argument's going to be. I think so. So I don't know, man. This is, I do believe that the Hunt family, they may explore this a little bit more. I think there's still going to be a few more talks. I don't think this is a done deal by any means decision. Until you sign papers to say that it's a done deal, anything's possible. Let me put it that way. And maybe, I don't know, Marcus, maybe they could do us some other things, like I said, and maybe break some up. Like I said, maybe find another $100 million somewhere else to maybe do some more renovations. But I did like the renovations they were going to do. I thought it was going to be awesome. But man, I know everybody's, this is the way that the voting went is how everybody felt. Kansas people, it was a win-win situation for them. It was a win-win situation for them. They were like, shoot, heck yeah, shoot. Vote no, we don't want to, yeah. Send it our way. Dallas and all that, it's not even Dallas and I ain't even in it. I ain't even in it. So
I've seen some people say going to Oakland, like, come on, they're not going to Oakland. they just left Oakland because the facilities were so bad.
Yeah, they're not going at it. No, they're not going anywhere.
No. I saw Donna. I think Donna mentioned St. Louis, and this is something I was thinking about earlier. Actually, obviously different situations and how everything ended up there, but yeah, the Cardinals go from St. Louis to Phoenix or and then become the Arizona Cardinals. And yeah. then you have the Rams go from St. Louis to L.A.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. I think you and I are on the same boat. I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is more just like posturing from both sides. Okay, like it didn't work out. Vote to go our way. All right, well, we're going to look to Kansas. I don't think anything's going to happen with that. I hope not, at least. But I think different situations. But the fact that there's states out there and cities out there who would love an NFL team, Missouri has a chance to lose three teams, man. I mean, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, we're talking about Missouri. There's lots to love in Missouri, but I mean these are states that, I mean, sport teams don't have it. Sport teams, you know, like the NBA, for example, they have teams all over the place. But there's so many teams that want them. Seattle wants an NBA team back. There's Vegas wants an NBA team, and at the same point, obviously, and I get it, the money aspect of things. I understand all that. But yeah, it's just crazy that Missouri could have has a chance of losing three teams. A state that, some call it a flyover state, you know, and all of a sudden there's a chance to lose out on an NFL team. And a lot of people may be only going to Missouri for cheap games or Rams games at the time. But now there's a chance that it could be going to Kansas. And that governor, she's looking at her chops, apparently, at getting Kansas City over or bringing the Chiefs over.
Of course. If it happened, the move wouldn't be far. We know it would be Kansas. That's where they would go. You talking about some upset people leave from somewhere, like go somewhere like you said, St. Louis or Dallas, that's not even an option. Like you said, their contingency plan was obviously Kansas, or at least that's what it is at this moment. But I do believe they had to look and see what the vote was, what people thought. 14% voter turnout to me doesn't always tell the story, put it that way. I don't think it does, but the voter spoke. Yep. It spoke. So it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Like I said, somebody said something really interesting. Like, why don't I have Patrick Mahomes invest $100 million? I don't know if he's able to do it or not. I think it's against the rule. It's got to be a rule against it, but it'd be great. True. You give $100 million to get some other guys to throw in. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure maybe if you talk to some other investors, somebody else might come into the picture.
Yeah.
You know, who could that be, Marcus? Who could that be?
I don't know. Maybe Tony could talk to Jeff Bezos and bring Jeff Bezos on or something.
I don't know, man. Anything is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Aldo Brown said 3 Super Bowls in 5 years and the team moves. Only in America, man. I, you know what? Only in America.
Yeah.
I think this, I don't want to say it was a strong arm move, but I think it was like, you know, put your what's name in the field with the temperature of what everybody is and where they're at.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So.
What about, I know this Kansas City Kings back in the day, but Sacramento. Sacramento Chiefs, JD, another team in California. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, yeah. Really AFC West, if they do that. That's real West.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they want to go to Sacramento. I've heard some rough things about Sacramento. But all right. Well, that does it for us, everybody. We hope everybody enjoyed our episode here tonight. We loved having the interaction from all of you guys in the chat and women as well. It was great episode. I mean, I know this week, you know, the Rashee Rice stuff, I know it kind of started off, you know, kind of rough, but I mean, we still don't know everything that's going on with that situation. It's going to be a continuing evolving situation, and we'll know what the Dallas PD wants us to know about it. But Rashee breaking the silence today and, you know, kind of owning up to his Instagram story was a good start to we can hopefully resolve this process.
Absolutely. Listen, y'all, I don't know how much y'all appreciated with y'all chats and coming in, talking about things. We appreciate it so much. Thank you. Cause we love the conversation going, engaging with everybody. We love you all, immensely. Wendy, Donna, Rick, Chris, what's up, Chris? Jim came in, Ghost Hunter, 1974, About Time, Tommy. I'm trying to name everybody. Ginger Girl, I'm the Brown. No. some other people, man. But it's good. It's always good to see new people in the chat. Andrea, I see you in here, you know, saying a few things. But we love it. We love the engagement. Y'all take care of yourself. We'll always have something to talk about. But we appreciate each and every one of you all. We really do. Okay.
We really do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I love seeing the familiar faces and also the sprinkling of new people in there. I love
For sure. For sure. Definitely. All right. Listen, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. Okay. Okay. Let's everybody love on each other like we should. Okay. All right. Be strong. Stay healthy. Y'all be good. Love y'all. Okay. Marcus, man. Love you, my brother. Appreciate it. All right.
Love you, man.
Go Chiefs.
Good Chiefs, everybody. Love you. And I'll be texting you, JD, as we get closer to my flag football game on Sunday. The schedule hasn't come out yet. Sunday's the day. So everyone be on the lookout for my little highlight reel.
I got a pregame speech for you, baby. Just let me know. Put me on the speaker. I got something for you. All right. I'll get y'all ready and popping.
All right, brother. Love you guys. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Love y'all. See y'all later.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.